Welcome to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about us two.
I never know what's going to come out of your mouth after that. I never know what it's your favorite podcast about until you say it. I'm just as curious as the listeners.
Me too. What is it? I don't know. The one resounding thing that people tend to say is that like the episodes with just us, which this is not one of them, but still.
Listen, you don't want a podcast of just us. We got to have some other motherfuckers on this show.
Oh my God. No, I think it's good to have a third.
Please, God.
I was watching that there's a new show called Dying for Sex that's based on a podcast of the same name.
With Michelle Williams, right? That's
with Michelle Williams, yeah. And Jenny Slate. It's based on a true story of a woman who gets a stage 4 breast cancer diagnosis and decides that she wants to spend the rest of her days having lots of sex with people.
That was me the day I was born.
So it's very fun. It's called, like, I've heard the term like gallows humor for like that. Oh. It's very funny and dark, but like very heartwarming as well. And of course, my cooked ass brain was like, wait, they'll make shows about podcasts? Not ours, but.
We don't need a miniseries. What we need is a movie. No. Who would play you in the Smell You Later feature film?
God. Honestly, Deachin Lockin.
Okay.
Miss Casey from Severance, for those who don't know.
I definitely do not know who that is. Who would play me? Ooh. Addison Rae.
He's on that show Shrinking, and he is Jason Segel's best friend in the show. He's like a gay lawyer.
Great. We have one thing in common.
That guy.
I feel like we are in an onslaught of new perfume right now.
Are we? Am I?
Well, I am. I love new experiences. Can we talk about that new Ellis Brooklyn?
Wait, which? The guava? I think.
That? Yeah, we can. It's out. That embargo was so long that I was like, I'll talk about this in 2026.
I'll forget. You can't do that. I'll forget. No.
Our friends at Ellis Brooklyn have a new scent called Guava Granita. It is, as the name would tell you, a guava scent. Sable, how do you feel about it?
I say this respectfully.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm a little perplexed why it wasn't a body mist. I'm perplexed in general because I feel like Ellis Brooklyn.
You are just perplexed.
I don't understand anything. I feel like their body mists have become quite popular. There's like the marshmallows one. There's vanilla sin.
Which is glittery. That's not a mist though. That's like a body oil that is a spray.
Why wasn't this an EDP? This smells to me like an EDP. Maybe because it's, I don't know, kind of like dark. It's like sweet and dark. And then Guava Granita, I'm like, why isn't this a body mist? Because it's so buoyant and light and like zesty.
Perfumes are allowed to be buoyant and light and zesty.
I don't know why. I was like, this needs to be delivered to me in a very long bottle.
I will take the EDP any day.
I do like that you can smell the granita-y juiciness. It's granita. It's like shaved ice, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Anytime I've had it, it's been in a kind of shaved ice format. And I feel like you really get that sensation and texture from this fragrance. So I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Oh, it's a Sicilian frozen dessert. My mom's going to beat my ass for not knowing that. I knew what it was. I just like, yeah. There's only so many things I can know.
There's only so many things you
That's true. Top notes, guava juice, banana. There's a lot of banana happening in perfume right now, I do want to say, between this and last year's Marc Jacobs fragrance, the green flower one, and the new tents, and a lot of banana. More on that later. Bergamot, tropical water lily. The mid is Cavillian melon, coconut palm, mango blossom, and the dry down is vanilla, sandalwood, and almond milk. This one is something.
Something.
It's something. You know what it is? It is a sister, I think, both in olfactory aesthetic and visual aesthetic to Miami Nectar.
I'll say that. I was like, yeah. Almost like a flanker Miami Nectar if you went a little bit more south.
I wouldn't call it a flanker. It's just they went to the same school. It's a lot of fruit. It's loud as hell. It's very tropical. It's in a translucent, bright bottle. Like, this could be its sort of own sub-collection within Ellis Brooklyn, and it might be.
I do wonder, because Miami Nectar really popped off for them. Mm. I wonder if they were like, okay, we need to continue in this direction of tropical, fruity, bright stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, especially at the mass level. I don't know. I feel like there's so much of the same right now, and it's not perhaps the newest idea, but it's fun and it's different. And to your maybe my point, it's strong. It's an EDP. It's not another fucking Jasmine Sambac. Thank God it's summer. Let's get our tits out, you know?
Always forget too that Ellis Brooklyn is always more expensive than I think it is.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I always wonder if there is some sort of fruit index where there's a certain dollar amount that people are willing to spend on a light, quote unquote, summery fruity scent that they perhaps spend more money on. I don't know. Yeah, like a vanilla, oudi, Jasmine Sambac number. I was wearing the other day, I was just going through my fragrance collection, just sorting things out for our upcoming swap. And
God damn it. We have to talk about that.
our swap, which you should come to May 7th at Talaya in Williamsburg.
Yes, bring a gently used bottle of perfume, and the link is in our bio. Just RSVP. It's free. We need a head count, and all that we ask is that you support our lovely partners, Talaya Brewery. Get a beverage, alcoholic or non, and/or a snack. Just support the community.
There's a drink minimum, people. I'm just kidding.
Yes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the ABV is. Just have a goddamn drink for once. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
I was just like cleaning out my collection, and then I found my bottle of YSL Libre Intense. And I sprayed it on the other day. I actually sprayed because I was testing things, I was like, I had a couple things sprayed on me, but all the rest of the goddamn day did I smell Libre everywhere. It was my mouth like all day, and I was like, damn, this is, I think, almost the main draw of the scent, other than it being a pleasant scent, but the fact that it will fucking follow you to the grave.
I think that's what a lot of people are looking for, and I suppose I understand.
After a while, though, I was like, okay, stop, get away from me.
I was at Sephora, as I likely place for him to be, and I seeing them all lined up, I knew, but I didn't realize just how many flankers of Libra there are. They are really riding that one till the wheels fall off.
I don't think they're even like that much different.
I agree.
I've smelled
I
them
agree.
before, and I am confused. I'm like, this is really isn't that much different than the original.
Yeah, people like what they like, even if it's in another format. I think that the more that come out, like there's the one that's a little beachier. I think we're getting farther and farther away from God's light in that way. So they are switching it up a bit. But I agree, they're sticking really close to the nucleus of the scent. But it's clearly working.
It's gonna keep their lights on
Yeah, literally.
throughout this whole tariff.
God, please.
Oh my God. Do you genuinely wonder like how the whole tariff thing will affect the fragrance industry? But I was just assigned an article about that, and I'm like, I guess I have to find out.
Yeah, I don't know. Not to put my head under a rock because I don't believe in that, but like the tariffs of it all are the last fucking thing I'm gonna think about.
Well,
You know what I mean?
why it's happening, because like he just keeps giving like these reasons that make no sense together.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So no one knows why. And even if like you, I don't know. This is not a political podcast.
Not today.
Not today.
Not today.
Oh, but what I was going to say is that I just saw that Ellis Brooklyn did a collab with Amika, the hair brand,
Yeah.
Miami Nectar in like a
I
dry
saw
shampoo.
that. I saw that. How cool.
I know. And I wondered, am I remembering this incorrectly, that did Ellis Brooklyn ever do hair fragrances or hair perfume? Am I crazy?
No, I don't think you are crazy. No, didn't they release them in a pack of three or a collection of three? I think you're right.
So I'm just like, interesting. Like, why would you?
It's probably going to be more successful for a hair brand to put out an Ellis Brooklyn scent versus Ellis Brooklyn to put out a hair scent. Because remember, Ellis Brooklyn also did a moisturizer out of nowhere.
That was really expensive out of
It was
nowhere.
extremely expensive. Yeah.
Is it still for sale?
I doubt it. If it is, it's the same batch from a
God.
couple years ago.
Me Googling Ellis Brooklyn moisturizer. Nope. Yep. It's still online and still $115. I'm sorry. That's crazy.
I'd rather pay 115 for a fragrance and a moisturizer. I will say that.
Yes. It's funny because on Google's first search page, it puts it obviously next to a fragrance and they're the same.
I used it. I used it till it was gone, and it was good, but so were affordable things.
Yeah, I'm very much so back in my K-beauty skincare kick. Yeah, I don't know. I think I just was experimenting with a lot of shit that was being sent to me and breaking out, and I don't have reactive skin, so I was like, I need to return me to God's country.
Yeah, get me to God's country. Did you receive, you did, because I saw the Starface skincare, the moisturizer and cleanser.
Yeah.
That original cleanser was so good.
This one has salicylic acid, which I'm like, it's not going to be an everyday for me.
Yeah.
I don't really want to wash my face with that, but
I do
miss the original skincare stuff.
It's so
very simple, very effective.
It's great.
But this is cute too.
It's cute.
I feel like I have a whole sticker book of all of the sticker.
Yeah, all of the pimple patches.
Different stickers.
They put them on in pink again. I think they're here to stay. So thank goodness. Hope I break out soon. Just kidding.
I put one of the holographic ones on my boyfriend. He played a show at Baby's All Right this weekend. I didn't know that Baby's All Right, which is, I guess, one of the only music venues in like Williamsburg anymore. They do late shows, which start at midnight.
No.
Yeah.
Where is that even at? I've been there, but you know my sense of direction.
It's on Broadway and like Bradford. Yeah.
Oh, not far from you. Less, okay.
It's great. That was the only reason I went. Otherwise, I was like, I'm sorry, bro. Go with God. But
yeah. Love you. See you in the morning.
Starface on his face because he was like, I have a pimple. Even though I'm like, bro, no one's going to see that pimple from offstage.
Yeah, you're a boy.
You're allowed to have pimples. It's fine.
Right.
But he likes a little star every now and again. And
that's
like,
so cute.
Stage pimple makeup.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Every time I go over his apartment, I like put a new fragrance in his closet to the point it's getting excessive now.
You're like breadcrumbing him, but with bottles of luxury perfume.
My intrusive thought is always, this is like a completely unrealistic scenario. I was like, if there's ever a girl that comes over, she's going to be like, someone cooked here. Not that would ever.
Right.
But I do think it'd be funny.
Yeah. I love that. Sable. What do you smell like today?
You are going to laugh or not. Actually, I think you'll agree with me. I smell like Byredo Mojave Ghost.
What?
I know. The most scent. I was always like, this scent is so boring. I don't get why people like it. And then I went to a Byredo event last week at WSA. It's like some...
Oh, yeah. The WSA building, yeah.
The fuck is it's some like Illuminati co-working members club, another fucking members club. I don't know. They have all those like USM furnitures everywhere. That's like in everyone's Architectural Digest.
Yeah. I know.
It's very designy, but they had a really nice space that was like an event space. Jerome Epinette was there talking about all the Byredo classics. And I guess the event was to fet their new absolutes. So they did an absolute of Mojave Ghost, and they just did an absolute of Blanche. Which when I read about it, I was just like, huh? And then when I smelled them, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And weirdly, they sent me home. I don't know if everybody got the same thing. They sent me home with a bottle of Mojave Ghost. And I was like, I don't want this. And then I sprayed it and I was like, wait.
The X-ray or the original?
The original, which I thought was weird.
That's weird. That's so weird.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm not crazy. So the original is apparently, it's based around violet, which is one of my favorite notes. And again, like susceptible to new information, smelling that and knowing that it has one of my favorite notes in it, I was like, okay, I like this now.
Mm-hmm.
I've always got a big hit of pear and woody. And I was like, okay, who cares about this woody pear? But now that I'm smelling all of the other, because it's also helpful when you have the creator of the scent, they're talking you through it and talking through their whole process and how this has, I have to show you, they gave us a little Byredo notebook.
Oh, God.
Very cute.
What, to write things down?
I know. I was like, okay. And then everyone else is taking notes. And I'm like, I guess I should do it too.
Please.
I still have all the blotters from it. So the original Mojave Ghost is violet, pear, they called out sandalwood and musk ambrette, and I was like, I like 3 out of 4 of those things. But the absolute pushes up more violet, and then there's the addition of amber in it. So it gives it like a little bit more of an earthiness and like a heaviness. Mm-hmm. I actually did like the X-ray or the absolute better, so I wish they had sent me home with that instead.
You can have mine. It's fine.
Okay. Yay.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I don't know. And then I was wearing it the rest of the day, and the whole day I was like, I smell so nice. I get it now.
Yeah. No, like, it's like when fragrances are so inescapable and ubiquitous as that is, or all the rest of them, it's easy to be like, why does everyone like this? And then you wear it, it's like, oh, because it's really likable. Yeah. You know, I think the one thing for me is that it's just not a me scent, you know what I mean? But I think I wore it like this time last year, and then they did send me the X Straight. And the original, again, not a me scent, but it's, I do get it. There's something there, but it's not too overpowering. It's just pleasant. And then the X Straight, more of that. I think that X Straight does have more body to it, obviously, but it leans a little skin on me. And I don't mean skin scent, like salty, body, milky. Like, it's nice. It's nice.
Okay. Yeah. At the event, I was like smelling them side by side. And I was like, yeah, I think I definitely lean more towards the Absolute. Mm-hmm. And same for Blanche. The difference with Blanche is that they just added black pepper, which is an interesting addition, because it's like Blanche, it's like fresh laundry detergent, linens on a clothing line, like trying. Yeah. So adding a peppery note to it, I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing.
That is.
It like amplifies it without really changing the scent profile too much.
That's interesting.
I was like, of all the ones to do an Absolute of, I was like, that's not what I would have thought.
Right.
Like, what else do they have? I don't know. Maybe Gypsy Water. Does anyone care about Gypsy Water anymore? No.
No, because you can't say Gypsy. No, it did surprise me that they did an X-ray of Blanche. I, like you, would not think that would be the one. I think everyone loves Mixed Emotions, but that's already pretty strong. But I don't know. I don't really have a read on what fragrances from Byredo people are fucking with anymore. Yes, Mojave Ghost. Yes, Mixed Emotions. No, nobody's talking about Pulp, and they should be. I'm screaming Pulp for the rooftops, and no one listens. Wear Pulp. Enjoy your life.
I think my favorite is still Anna Malik. I know that's a relatively new
one. Oh, no. I love Anna Malik. Oh, my God.
I think I even like it more than 1996, I think.
Lest we not forget, my all-timer, 1996.
But, yeah, I don't really know. I am curious. I'm like, not that I would ask this at the event, but I was like, what are you doing? Also, like, Jerome Epinette would like not. He's like, I'm the perfumer. I'm not like the marketing team. Really.
Yeah. He's like, what am I doing? What they tell me to.
I did think it was funny because they had a Q&A and the people were asking questions that were like way more brand focused. And I was like, you realize this is the perfumer. Like, he's not making the calls. He's just like fulfilling the briefs. Yeah. But he did a lovely presentation. Nice guy.
That's so cool.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I am down bad. Ooh. With this scent. I talked about it, I think, last week. This is Naxos from Zirjoff. I smelled it on a friend of mine, and then I realized that we did have a contact for it, the lovely Emma from Euro Parfums. So I just hit her up, and I was like, can I get this? She sent it along, and I sprayed it on, and I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I remember from 4 days ago. And then I put it on my wrist originally when I wore my friend's when he was in town, and I liked it, but I think it was already wearing something else and it was just like not very intentional. But I wore it again in the way that I usually fully wear scents, like both wrists and chest. And my God, this thing is beating my ass. It is so good. And it's good in a way that checks every one of my boxes. And it might be an all-timer for me. It might be like top 10 vibes. It's incredible. I know I just did this last week, so forgive me, but bear with me. It says it starts off with bergamot, lemon, lavender, but I don't really get any of that, but except at the very top. They burn off really quickly, as most do. Cinnamon, honey, and cashmere. And then later, further down, there is tobacco, tonka, and vanilla. Oh my God, it's so good. I can't. Oh, jasmine sambac too, but you don't really. It's not Jasmine Sambac in like the 2024 way. It's just like incredibly round and incredibly honeyed with and like ambery, but without being sticky. Yeah. And it's really, it's not earthy, but it has earthiness to it. It just has a lot of depth. Like, you get the vanilla, the tonka, and a lot of tobacco, basically. It's just so fucking good. And the wear is, I think, exactly what the wear of a perfume should be, if not 10% louder. It's just, if not bold, then really consistent. And it's just very concise and has a lot of throw. It's so good. I don't know. I have a lot of shit to wear my way through, but I can't really get away from this just because it is so beautiful. Yeah. And just so nicely done and balanced. It's gorgeous.
I know Xerchoff is one of those. I feel like it's one of those like perfume talk brands or YouTube fragrance people. And I think that has made me stay away from
It's funny. I think I like activate in those spaces a little less than you do. So Zerzhov was like completely new to me.
I'm a lurker. Like, I'll lurk, but I don't really like, I clearly don't participate in it.
So like in the week I've had to acclimate myself with this. Yeah, this was released in 2015, so it's not new, which is great. But my fucking God, it's just perfect. It's like perfect for me. I love it. And it's funny. The outer carton, like the packaging, has this like interesting sort of esoteric image under the word mark, like the logo, and it looks like biblical. So I just posted it on my story, and there's Zerzhov really big on the top of it, and so many people responded to it, and I'm like, and they're like, I thought that said jerk off, and I'm like, well, that's hilarious. Two, it doesn't. First of all, it starts with an X.
A mind sees.
Yeah, listen, I'm a pervert, and even I didn't see jerk off, so I don't know. I need to introduce y'all to someone. His name is Jesus, but I love it.
I would definitely do a double take for that word. Like it makes me think of, it's almost like a, what do they call it? It's like the Mandela effect when like groupthink is manipulated. Where I remember taking a road trip like in college once, and we were driving upstate, and there was a sign for a town called Socrates. And all at once, we all like did a double take, and we're like, "Did that just say sugar tits?"
What?
And like we all saw the wrong word, and I was like, "What is wrong with us?"
Collective brain rot.
Yeah, seriously. So I was like, "Okay, I can see how people see Zerdroff and think jerk off."
That's so funny.
Yeah, I should smell some of their stuff. I think they're crazy expensive. Is that right? I think.
Not, you know what? Not as expensive as I thought. So this is 100 milliliters, and it's showing me pounds for some reason. I'm sorry, but it's 245 pounds for 100 ml. So
Luxury, but
it's a
not.
lot of money, but you're also getting a lot of fragrance.
Yeah.
This
Okay.
is, I would say, like DS and Durga level.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was like Rosia level prices were.
No, they give that. And some maybe they have a lot of fragrances, but no, this one is, I would say, expected luxury.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I should finally. I don't know. When I really do have that brain rot where, like, when something is just so ubiquitous, like in the consumer market on social media, I'm like, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. It's they can wear us out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but now I can feel free to smell these jerk off fragrances.
God, name of the episode. Please don't. I swear to God, every Tuesday I wake up and I get the notification and I'm like, what did she name it this time? Sometimes I just look at my phone and roll over and go back to sleep, and it's like, I'll deal with that at 6 a.m. Like, I can't do it now, but
Depends on like how, what time I'm editing and uploading the episode, and how far in between, like how far away it is from my last meal.
yeah, it's funny too because sometimes, depending on how many episodes we have banked, I'll see your like insane title and I'm like, what even was that show about? Who was the guest? It takes me a minute, but that's
I don't necessarily put the zany titles for our guest episodes. Those are more
sure. That's fair. That's fair. Anyway.
our guest for this episode is from a brand that I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but like surprised us with how much we both like their scents. We received the discovery set with no expectations. We were just like, okay. And then you and I both were going through the discovery set, and we're like, this is nice. This is really nice. Wait.
Yeah. So what happened was we welcomed one of this PR firm's clients to the show, and after it, they pitched us this other one. As the doors open, and we had both never heard of it, and I think I ignored it once or twice. And then I was like, fine, sure, it's not a discovery set. What's the worst that could happen? And I started going through it, and I was like, what the fuck's going on here? These are so good, and each and every okay. See, I think there's 10. I would say I really liked 8 of those 8. Four like really blew my mind. I just kept being like, what the hell am I smelling right now? They were really unique in ways that I feel like is getting harder and harder to come by. And then, oh, my ass has, of course, has to see the notes, God forbid. And I kept seeing these really left of center notes like beer and burnt rubber and fennel and anise and things like that. And I was just like, I don't know. It was just such an enjoyable experience to wear my way through. And I don't know. The next step was obviously just so can we get him on the show?
I think it's rare that I go through a whole discovery set and think, oh, these are all really nice. Like, I would wear every one of these scents. Like, normally that you're like, oh, that's not for me. But
sure.
These are all like, there were some that I was definitely more drawn to, but all of them I think I would wear. And that's pretty rare for us, I think.
Yeah, no, there were one or two that I think that were just like very obviously not for me, which is fine. Doesn't mean they're bad, but not. And I don't know. Again, we're in a very privileged place to have so much to wear. But I do think it really says something when one of us goes back to something in such short order. And yeah, man, I've been loving 2787. If you are not aware, they're not even a new brand. I just think they're new to us.
Yeah.
And
they're new to the U.S.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Or just new to this PR firm. I don't know. But yes.
So we're really happy to have Romy Kowalewski on. And I believe she's in Berlin right now. So it's very late for her. So we should probably get to it.
Yeah, so we can get her to bed.
My name is Romy. I'm the founder of 2787. We are a modern perfume brand based in Barcelona. And we create perfumes that value the traditional craftsmanship. So we produce locally everything in Barcelona, and we look for the best quality of ingredients. But at the same time, we push the boundaries when it comes to modern perfumery. So what perfumes are one of the oldest sectors that we have, let's say. So we all know the Eau de Rose and Eau de Amour. But what else can we do? So we're exploring ingredients that maybe haven't been used that much or haven't been used at all, or that just haven't been invented. So yes, that's more or less what we do at 2787.
That's so cool. And before we get into it, we always ask our guests, Romy, what do you smell like today?
So to be honest, for me, it's 1 a.m. in the middle of the night. I just took a shower already, so I'm not wearing any perfume right now. But during the day, I was wearing a perfume that I'm working on right now. We want to release in October. And I'm studying the final facets, base notes, etc. I can't tell you exactly what I was wearing today. You would need to wait until October.
We're happy to wait. We hate waiting, but we'll wait for you.
Okay, cool.
For those who may not be familiar, can you tell us, before we get into it all, can you tell us about your background and how it led you to perfume?
Yes. So I'm a native German. And after school, I moved to Barcelona to study. And during university, we had several industrial visits. And one of them was a Puig, which have the headquarters here in Barcelona, and they create perfumes like for Paco Rabanne, Carolina Herrera, etc. And when I entered their facility, it was just a key moment where I realized, okay, I always took care of my olfactive appearance. And actually, I realized, okay, you can do a job out of it. How cool is that? So I started to investigate the industry. I trained my nose. I went to the trade shows and had pretty clear with 2021 that I want to create my own brand one day. And then, it took me some time, like around 4 or 5 years, to have everything together, the story, the perfumers I would want to work with, the packaging, etc. And then I started right away. So I'm not having any specific career before, let's say, creating my own perfume brand, because I had a clear early on in life.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you talked about always loving fragrance and your sort of olfactory experience growing up, and it doesn't have to be fine fragrance, but what sort of scents or fragrances were important to you, and what do you feel like impacted you to drive you in this direction to 2787?
First of all, I am very sensitive to smells in general. So I always love to my friends. I know exactly how they smell when you enter their room. Okay, yes, that's their home. And but also odors from nature or cooking. I always, when you walk through the city or through the street, and usually it was in my childhood during, I don't know, Saturday, 12 o'clock, midday, where everybody was cooking. I was walking through the street identifying, okay, so in this house, they cook some chicken. In the other house, they do some, I don't know, pasta. So I was always very curious. And I love the smell of fried onions, of mint. I used to go to the lakes with my father and grab some fresh mint to do some mint tea. So there's several odors that, were always very fascinating to me. And when I decided to create my own brand, I realized, okay, but actually they're not in perfumery. Why? So they definitely had an influence as well on 2787. And they were like the reason as well to, or let's say the motivation to push the boundaries and go for another route and not always taking the same ingredients that we used to take for the last, I don't know how many hundred years.
Wow. I can relate to that as someone who also follows my nose to food.
This is a food forward podcast for sure.
Also, my family comes from the food industry. So my father was always working on different receipts. And when he came back to to home, he always showed the different versions of the recipe he was creating. And we had to identify as children, okay, what's the difference? Is there more pepper there or is it more, I don't know, which kind of ingredient he was working on? So actually that it's a little training I had since childhood when it comes to identifying what is in the receipt. So the taste is very similar to smell. So it's easy for me as well to evaluate perfumes.
Very cool.
That's so cool. Yeah, we've been at this almost 5 years, and I guess it should be more obvious than it is, or maybe it is to other people, but just how closely linked your senses of taste and smell are, I find that so fascinating. It's like you can't really have one without the other.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it's, I don't know, sad as well, because in school we learn about art, painting. Everybody knows the basic colors that there are, the combinations you can do, and also about music, the notes. Maybe we learn even to play an instrument, but we don't learn anything in school about the olfactory system and, you know, how to identify some odors. And it's such a basic sense that you can't deny it by experiencing it every day. You can't stop breathing. So I think we lack there a little bit of culture, olfactive culture. So yeah, I'm really into that as well, exploring what we can do. How can we educate more people to know more about the perfume history, also the different ingredients, and yeah, to be more curious about daily odors that surround us.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And when I was little, I didn't have a filter, so I would just say what I thought. Smelled weird, I'd be like, what's that smell? And oftentimes it would lead to a rude comment I didn't mean to be rude with. A lot of people think it's very rude or impolite to talk about odors. And it I think I grew up with this sense that, we're not supposed to talk about bad smells. Or if you make a comment on someone's good smell, like even that could be considered like a little intrusive. But you're right. Yeah, we don't learn about it in school. And I think if we did, we wouldn't feel so timid about talking about it.
Yes, I think also many people don't even know, is there a language when it comes to odor? How do you describe it? So that's the lack. No education here. So I think also for the perfume industry in general, there's much work to do still. That's also a reason why I jumped into 2787. I had the feeling, okay, there are many perfumes out there, and all my family and friends asked me, like, when creating the brand, do you really think we need another perfume brand? More perfumes on the market? Aren't there not enough already? And I said, no, for me, it feels like we're in Stone Age. We have so many millions of songs that are registered with just 12 notes that are available. In perfumery, we have 4,000 ingredients, and there are just a few thousand perfumes on the market, and 90% smells the same, because it's all about making the best marketing and getting the most out of it from the juice, rather than having this creative point and exploring. So I had the feeling like, it's the beginning. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
That's a really good way to think about it, especially now that fragrance has become a much bigger industry. There's just so many new fragrances coming out and everyone's, another fragrance. But you're right. Like, if you consider it compared to the rest of other arts, like, fragrance is catching up still.
Yeah, I recently checked it on ChatGPT, how many paintings are there that are registered and you can find in galleries, etc. I'm not talking about the paintings that you can do at home. And they were 800 billion, more or less. And perfumeries was 70,000. So that's a huge gap.
Yeah. Huge. Oh my God.
And to think it's been around, to think the form has been around as long as painting has. We've always been expressing ourselves visually and through smell. So it's like, we got some work to do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not getting tired. 8 years now on the market. And again, for me, it just feels like the beginning.
Wow. I'm so curious. What do the numbers 2787 mean?
Actually, it's the size of the bottles. They come in 27 ml and 87 ml. But it's also my birthday. Because back in the day, in 2016, when I launched, I thought, okay, that's cool to say. I'm the younger generation when it comes to perfumery. Now I'm getting older. I try to avoid it. But yeah, it also shows how transparent I am in crafting the perfumes in Barcelona. There's nothing to hide.
Wait, so assuming that it's dated in the European way, is your birthday July 2nd?
No, it's the day 27 and the year 87.
Okay.
I thought, as a woman, I gave my age. I wanted to keep the horoscope myself.
That was for a second, I was going to be like, oh my God, we have the same birthday. But
okay, almost. My brother was born on the 2nd of July, so also family related.
Hey, birthday twins.
I'm also really bad in remembering names, so I wanted to have a number that you can pronounce in any language, and it's much cleaner than a word that everybody does. So it's another reason why
that's smart.
My birthday. Yeah.
Math is the same in every language.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. Now that we dug into the name, I would love to hear a little bit more about just what inspired you to start the brand? I know we walked up to it a little bit in our conversation already. I know it's a big thing to do so. Where did the inspiration come from? What was the brand that you thought you would create? And then how did you set out to do so?
Yes. So as I said before, I took a lot of care of my olfactory appearance. That means I was using niche perfumes since I'm 13 years old. And I was never loyal to any specific perfume or to any specific brand. So I had quite a big wardrobe at home. And when I decided to create my own brand, of course, I studied also the perfumes I was using before, the history behind, etc. And I realized that many brands out there, and that's a beautiful part of it when you come into the niche, there's always a storytelling behind. So we see perfume making as an art form, and as any art form, you have an inspiration. And the perfume basically is the inspiration, the interpretation of it. And I realized that most inspirations, they were very nostalgic and very much related to the past. So some personal memories that the nose or the founder had when traveling, I don't know, during childhood on the last holidays, or some historical event, or some love stories, etc. And I always asked myself, okay, what has this story to do with me? Why I spray that on my skin? So I wanted to create a brand that was inspired by the here and now concept that everybody can relate to. And then when you like a perfume, you wear it, you create your own scent memories with it. So it's not the brand telling you what the perfume should remind you of, but it's you creating your own nostalgic memories, future nostalgic memories with it, let's say. And that's why also the bottles are all white, like a blank canvas that you fulfill with your own experiences.
Oh, that's cool.
Very chic.
That's really cool. Very chic. We know that you have collaborated with many incredible perfumers. Just like Mark Buxton for, I'm going to butcher this name, but Elixir de Baume, and Jacques, I'm also going to butcher his last name. Thank you. Yes. For Sonar, which are oddly two of, I think, my two favorites out of the collection. I'm obsessed with those two.
That's nice to hear.
So good. But so how do you decide what perfumers you want to work with? Because I'm sure it's an act of trust and a labor of love and a partnership that you go into. So how do you know who's right to collaborate with?
So first of all, it was for me crucial when starting the brand to really work with the best noses on the market that also have all ingredients available that you would need to create a modern perfume. So I'm basically working with big houses as well that do all the research and innovations. And it was crucial as well to give credibility to the brand since the beginning, as I was not from the industry. And when I trained my nose, I also realized, same as in cooking, I always wanted to do it very special. So I put always too much pepper or too less, or always screw it up a little bit. I don't have the patience. I wanted to rely on people that dedicate to it to 100% to really concentrate on the quality. And then I had different concepts that I wanted to put into perfumes, so different inspirations. And they were very different from each other because I wear perfumes according to my mood, according to the occasional, let's say, I don't know, outfit. So I didn't want to have one signature ingredient or one signature smell in all my perfumes. So you would recognize the line. I really want to have it very different. And I think every perfumer as well has its own signature. So that was for me the reason why I work with always with different noses. I choose them according to what they're specialized in. So Maxim, for example, he's very renowned for his characteristic handwriting. He's very explosive. And for Elixir de Baume, as the name says already, I was looking for a very loud and outgoing perfume. And he was the best fit for it. And he was also one of the perfumers that created my favorite scent I was wearing before having my own brand. So it was also a very romantic idea too for me, like, wow, I have the opportunity to work with him.
Oh, that's so cool. Can you say what fragrance it was that he
created?
Yes,
Angelo Di Fulmi from Linari. It's a German brand.
Oh, nice. Okay. How cool.
Yes. And he felt so honored. And he said, oh, Richard, don't worry. Come to Paris. We sit down and we will find something. So that's what we did. So we sit in this lab. And then there were so many ideas. As I said, and I see the bomb. It's a very complex scent. So there were many ingredients on the table. And I had three or four ingredients pretty clear that I wanted to use them, but the question was to not make it like it's a gourmand album and it's, let's say, a modern approach to it, because back in the day we were thinking, okay, how can you do it more modern that's not smelling so sweet and clammy in the typical sugary aspect? And then we realized, okay, in the lab we won't find it, let's get our inspiration outside the lab. So we went for a drink and I was ordering my favorite cocktail, Moscow Mule. And he said, hey, homie, let's start with the cocktail. So we have some pepper here. We have some mandarin and some ginger. And so that's a nice twist to the sweetness of the caramel in Elixir de Baume. And that's how we started working.
Wow. It's like the inspiration was right in front of you.
In the moment. Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
great.
but each perfume, there's a different approach to each perfume. Like sometimes I have the notes first, sometimes the concept is first, sometimes it's just the name. So it's like always a different way.
Tell us about creating a perfume based off of a name. How does one do that?
Okay, so for example, the perfume I was working on the last month that we launched now in April, it's called Hakuna Matata. And I love the sound of it. Of course, we all know it from Disney. Just like Hakuna Matata, everybody can pronounce it. And it's just such a fun like sound of the words itself already. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I just, in a God, there's no statistic behind my company. There's no investor behind it. I have to justify my thinkings. And right. just was my inner feeling like, okay, let's go for it. And I like this the idea that it's not only about Disney, but there's actually a philosophy behind from the Swahili culture in Africa. So I wanted to dive more deeper there inside. And I had the feeling nowadays, everything is so stressful and so tense. So we shouldn't forget to take life sometimes a bit easier as well and live the moment. And had the fit, that the feeling it fits perfectly to the present moment. And that's, yeah, how I decided to go for it. And then I thought about the ingredients. Usually, if you think about Hakuna Matata, you would think about tropical ingredients. So that would be the most logical way to go. But I wanted to be more daring and a little more fun and wanted to have a playful spirit in it. So I went for an ingredient that is rarely found in perfumery, which is the banana.
Oh, a banana fragrance.
Yes. It's the banana. We all connected when eating the banana, right? And it's, again, it has this charm part. But actually, if you wouldn't remember eating a banana and you smell this odor for the first time, I think for me, the banana has a very sophisticated side as well. In the perfume, we also highlighting a little bit the sophisticated part of the banana.
That sounds incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just so tired of all the vanillas and out there. So let's do something different.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I had read that at least the flavor of banana candy that we have is based on an extinct banana species, because at least like we have a candy called Runtz here, and it's just like these like hard candies in the shape of the fruits that they are the flavor of. And the banana one, which is my favorite, always tastes a little bit like bubblegum. Mm. And then I was told that's based on an extinct banana species, because I'm like, well, this doesn't taste like a banana that like I eat. I always wondered if in perfumery, when there are banana notes, like what did they base those bananas on?
So we have the green peel, but we also have the actual meat. So it's a combination. But yeah, we mingled it with honey. So there is a sweetness to it. But the sophistication comes from the jasmine flowers and the orange flowers. So that's something you wouldn't directly connect with the banana, which is quite new. And that's the down part. Let's say if you are pushing the boundaries and using ingredients that are rarely used in perfumery, because first people don't have an association with it or an association from a different file. So actually, for example, in sauna, where we use this burnt rubber curd, it smells very particular. You would need your nose to give some time, because usually our nose has a function to protect us from danger. So when there's a new smell or an uncommon smell that you wouldn't expect in this moment, the first thing your nose does is rejection. So actually, you would need to smell it 2 or 3 times until your nose understands, okay, I'm not dying here. Let's start evaluate if I like it or not. So also for Hakuna Matata, it's definitely a scent that you would need to try on skin 2 or 3 times until you're more familiar to it and you connect it not only to eating the banana, but also to wearing it as a sophisticated scent, and then you evaluate.
Wow. I never realized that there was so much that could go into the way that you smell something, like acclimating your nose to a certain note or something.
Yes. Again, it's easier if you use like common ingredients like vanilla or rose or oud or the common woody notes that everybody knows, because your nose already, or your, let's say, your memory already connects it to perfumery. But yeah. If it's not connected to perfumery, you have to create this new connection in your memory. So that's why it always takes a bit longer. But I'm patient, and it turns out to be the right way. We have some best-selling perfumes without doing any campaign, nothing around it. And in some countries, it sells more than a commercial perfume. So it's just about the quality of the perfume, and people actually like it once they experienced it.
Totally. It speaks for itself after long enough.
Yeah, exactly. That's what niche is about as well. It's not about putting all the effort into the marketing and advertising and on the bus, into the juice.
Yeah. You've touched on this a little bit, but I think what drew me personally to 2787 from the start, Sable and I are lucky to have so many perfumes and discovery sets sent to us. I was unfamiliar with 2787 before the discovery set showed up. And so I started going through it and I realized, wait, there's something special here and there's something different. So much of the collection smells really unique, which is harder and harder to find.
Thank you.
And every time I wore something, I would look at the notes because that's the kind of person I am. And I saw so many of the scents do have these really atypical notes, like beer and burnt rubber, red pepper and absinthe and anise and fennel, which are atypical in the fragrance space. I know that they do show up in fragrance, but not as often as vanilla or jasmine. I would just love to know about is, I'm sure it's intentional, but how do you get to these notes and how do you know what's right and how do you know what to use?
First of all, there are many trials always in between. It's not that the scent is already in 1 week or two. For example, in Sona, which is, it's all about, let's say, electronic music festivals. And when I went to my electronic music festivals around the world, for the first time I went to electronic music festival, I was wearing high heels, which is the worst that you can do. So I was basically watching all the time on the floor to take care of where to step on and my feet were hurting, etc. And then I realized, okay, on the floor, there are always these music cables. And when the music is really loud, they heat up and they have this specific smell of this burnt rubber. Mm-hmm. And when thinking about how to capture the smell of an electronic music festival into a perfume, into a fine fragrance, I thought, okay, there are not many pleasant odors there, but this burnt rubber thing, it's quite particular. And together with the tuberose that we use there, it smells for me like the white smoke that they push out of the machines from the stage. And I love this smell. It's quite addictive to me. And I find it fascinating, again, to use this burnt rubber that nobody uses in fine fragrances. It gives this uniqueness to the scent. It gives the depth to the scent. At the same time, using a normal, let's say, a more traditional ingredient like the tuberose, but it was extracted in a different way. So it's more greener and fresher. Yeah, for me, it was an interesting project. And luckily, yeah, Jack was very into it as well. And to explore different extraction formats and different ingredients that you're not finding in perfumery into one composition and create something that is pleasant, daring, and at the same time, very unique and wearable.
That's so cool. I'm scared of music festivals here. Just I get overstimulated by crowds. It's so cool that when you notice little things like these enormous cables for all of the equipment, I feel like that to me is so much of a authentic experience of being there. Like this cinematic heaving crowd, but yeah, all the technical aspects, that's really cool.
That's so
cool. The feeling in the festivals is always very special. I think when you're very into it there in this moment, you stay there for hours and you escape, let's say, your day to day. It's quite unique that everybody, I think, that goes there enjoys a lot. And I thought, yeah, let's capture it. And that's the beautiful thing as well. When you get inspired by the present moment, you really just live life. Rather than looking back to the past and thinking like hard on it, okay, what can I do next, capture next? And you go maybe through books or poems that are sometimes just open a nice, a little creative mindset and go for it. And it comes automatically. I have, I don't know, 20 or more concepts right now. I would love to launch on the market, but I want to go step by step.
And you're right. The smell of the smoke machine is its own weird, unique, and pleasant smell. I never thought about that in a scent before.
Because there is a fragrance added to that smell.
Totally. And what is it?
So usually when you say, okay, there's a burnt rubber cord inside, you would think, okay, that's not from fine fragrance industry, maybe more from the car industry related. Yeah. So that would be a cheap ingredient used there. But actually, it's not. It's saffron, which is one of the most exclusive ingredients that you can find, together with belambre, which is a patented molecule. So it's quite expensive, actually, to create it.
That's so crazy. This is very much a saffron podcast. So it's no wonder that we like it.
Yeah, I'm very much a fan of saffron as well.
Yeah, definitely. You're in the right place.
Great.
One of my favorite 2787 scents was Genetic Bliss. And I looked it up afterwards. Like I put one scent here, one scent here. I have a very chaotic way of testing things. But the one that I kept going back to smelling was Genetic Bliss. And then I looked up, I'm like, it smells familiar, but also not like anything I've smelled before. And at least according to Fragrantica, it's been made up of a bunch of captured synthetic molecules. And I always think it's so interesting when people choose those and then mix them together. And so these are all synthetic molecules like combined together? And like, how did you choose those ones?
Yes. So I wanted to, again, modern perfumery, I wanted to use some ingredients that are new. And one of the ingredients is Akigala wood, which comes from the let's say, from the part of the oil that has been thrown away because it's not used in perfumery anymore. And from this part, they just took out one molecule. So it's abstract. It's not exist. It comes from nature, but it's not non-existent in such pure form in nature. And it was invented in 2014. And I was working on this perfume in 2017. We launched in 2018. We were one of the first brands using Akigala wood. And how I found it, it was a big pleasure for me to go to the laboratory of Givaudan. They have like more or less 60 patented molecules. And as usually, you can't smell them that well on paper. You really would need to try them on skin. So the staff members in the laboratory, they were having 3 molecules on each arm, so 6 per person. And I spent the whole afternoon smelling all the arms.
Oh my God.
And of course, when I was smelling them, I chose 5 because it was the 5th perfume I was launching. When I was smelling them, there was no name written on the arm of the ingredient nor the price tag. And like in fashion, I have this specific talent to pick always the most expensive stuff. So I picked one of the most exclusive captive, so again, patented molecules that Givaudan had to offer. And then Jordi put it into a composition, a formula. And that was it. That was quite fast, actually, because I chose the 5 ingredients I like the most already. So it was just about the percentage of each ingredient playing the role in the composition. And we had it done in almost like a month and a half, too.
Wow.
And the idea was, I'm sorry.
Is that one of like your bestsellers?
It is the bestseller, exactly. It's the perfume I mentioned before that doesn't have any campaign. There's nothing around it. It's just the scent itself that, by mouth to mouth, got so famous, at least in Europe. So we're just starting in the US. It's a very modern scent, very pleasant at the same time. It's very close to skin. The percentage is very high. So it really stays all day long. It always pops up as soon as you move again, even the day after. When, you do some sports, you would still smell it. And I love it. I love it too. For layering as well. So I love to layer Genetic Bliss with some other perfumes from the range.
What about it makes it different than other molecular fragrances like that do have this mysterious, like disappearing quality, but do cling to you? Because I know that like more and more of those are coming out, but I do think I'm with Sable that Genetic Bliss does feel very like unique and not stronger per se, but more assertive, I think, than some others. How did you do that?
I call it the Ferrari amongst the molecule perfumes because there's just not just one, there are 5 inside, and they all belong to the woody musk family and have specific characters. For example, the Akigala wood has this oudish woody aspect, and there's Belamda, which is a dry woody note. Then you have the creamy part of a sandalwood wood called Yavano. So there, it's all around this, different facets of woody notes, which I think makes it quite round and complex for being a pure synthetic perfume.
Wow. I'm curious that so many, like we talked about, so many of your fragrances are so unique and differentiated from what is out there right now, or at least what is super popular, and also really different from each other. But would you say that they all have something in common? Is there a through line through 2787 that they all like share in common?
Uniqueness, so that they're very different from each other? Yeah, I think that's what they have in common.
Yeah, that's fair.
We have 10 perfumes right now in the line. And to give an orientation, I created like 4 lines. So Genetic Bliss, for example, would be in the Now line, which are perfumes inspired from like our society. And these are perfumes that you can wear in the day-to-day, so they're not overwhelming the whole room, but they leave this recognizable signature so that can you make this perfume your own day-to-day scent, so everybody recognizes you with. Then there's this White line, so these are more extroverted perfumes, louder, maybe for people looking for specific occasions or people that are more outgoing. And that's basically the inspiration comes from what we do in our free time. So the Sonar is there, Alex Hillebomb is there. Then there's the Go line, which is all related to the word of travel. And the scents there are made of exotic ingredients that you rarely find in perfumery. So even a person that has the feeling from the industry that knows it all gets surprised there. And then there's the Calm line, which is after all the stress, we have to calm down as well. There's just one scent inside this line so far, because I'm not calming down that much. But it's, with notes that are grounding.
I love Hamaca. It feels so, I don't want to say beachy because I feel like it's so overused, but it's so creamy and like almost coconutty. I'm not even sure if there's coconut in there, but it just feels like comforting and familiar and almost lactonic in that way.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little bit lactonic. The main ingredient is the tonka bean from Venezuela.
Sure.
Because hamaca is the Spanish word for hammock. So it's about lying in the hammock somewhere at the beach. And the origin from the hammock is in the Caribbean. And the tonka bean belongs to the vanilla family. So it has this vanilla aspect, but it's much deeper and it has a little more. For me, it smells always like the skin that has been in the sun for 3 or 4 hours, the warmth that you get there. So I find it quite suitable. And yes, there is a little bit of coconut inside, but it's not the main ingredient.
Sure.
And even though if you smell it, you would connect it to summer, I think it's also a very beautiful winter fragrance, because when you wear like a warm, I don't know, cashmere pullover and you have this creamy scent around you, it makes you feel really comfortable and cool.
I love a sweet scent in the winter or any time of it. And then I think something that I'm really curious about, you talked about how most of your bottles are white and super minimal, but the carton, like the outer packaging, they're all for each scent. They have a really unique design convention that are all different from each other. Some are really bright. One is simply bright red. Some are metallic. How do you approach that? What inspired you to make such a austere bottle, but a bright and brilliant packaging?
Yes. So I wanted that when you are in the perfumery, that you really focus on the scent itself and not on the outer packaging. So actually you don't see the outer packaging. You basically see the testers, right? You see the white bottle first. And that doesn't give you that much of a visual impact at the beginning. It's just simple. That's the reason as well, apart from that the bottle represents as well part of the storytelling, the blank canvas that create your own sense stories, that I wanted to keep it very simple. And I also wanted to keep it opaque. So the scent is protected from sunlight, so it really lasts longer. And yeah, the packaging is reflecting basically the inspiration behind each perfume. That's why each packaging has a different decoration. And it's also the place where I collaborate with artists, where they project their interpretation of the concept of the fragrance.
Do you work with the same artist for each one?
No, sometimes, no, quite different. So, for example, I have here the Hakuna Matata one coming out next, which is like an African sunset, like an extraction from it, and quite colorful. Mm. It looks very different to the one, for example, of Pressy, which is pure white.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
I know it's late for you, Romy, but I feel like we just burned through all of this, all the questions we had to ask you. You're such a good interview.
Wow, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
All the questions I have would be things that are probably under embargo right now.
Yeah, we're nosy.
Yeah, I would always love to share it because I'm always so excited about the project I'm working on. And actually, when I then launch it, it feels to me like, okay, this has been on the market already for 2 years because I'm really deep into it. And then you're working on it with all the visuals and music and that when actually there's a launch date, for me, feels already old. So I always, always love to talk about it even before it comes, because that's what the time when I'm in it. But yeah, I need to wait a little bit.
We will eagerly await with you. We cannot wait. I'm really interested, or I'm really curious about Hakuna Matata too. The banana sounds really interesting. I'll get my hands on that.
So we're still in the production right now. After Easter, we will have it finally ready. Awesome. The only thing I have left is this little vial here, which is half empty.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't even have the name on it. And yeah, and then it comes end of April. And we showed it already next month, which is the most important niche perfume trade show in Europe, in Milan. Mm. And everybody just went crazy. So usually we use like a bottle, one tester, like for the whole trade show, the four days that we're there. And this time we used 3 at the rows because everybody wants to smell the banana. And so I'm very curious now to see the people within the industry went crazy, bent bananas. So what about the end consumer? So I'm very curious when it comes to the market.
That's awesome. We are excited to see.
Some samples for sure.
We'll take anything you got.
Banana, once again.
Yeah.
26 will be the year of the banana.
It's shaping up to be. And banana's not a note that I like crave in fragrance, but I'm not mad at it. I'm with it.
I think it's one of those like kind of secret notes that just plays so well with many things.
Yeah, you're right.
As subtle or as punchy as you want. So it's cool. It's like a secret olfactive weapon. Banana.
Yeah, it's like one of those, like you said, like one of those approachable, warm sweetnesses that's
like something's familiar about this, but I'm not sure what. And it's like banana.
Banana. That's what it is. I do want to smell Hakuna Matata. It's like a non-negotiable for me at this point.
Yeah. When I saw the name, I was just like, I was like the Lion King. the collab. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, but
Right.
that's cool. She's expanding the association of Hakuna Matata.
Exactly.
Also, they can be
You know
really
what
funny when someone asks, like, "Oh, you smell so good. What are you wearing?" And you can say Hakuna
I say we'll burst into song. We are like Timon and Pumbaa tees.
We are. I feel like I'm the warthog.
I just want a nap and have a meal.
That's true. And I'm just the bossy one. Kidding. How do I say this diplomatically? I really appreciated that she like knew her shit up and down. And because you never know what you're gonna get with a guest store founder, to be honest.
Surprisingly rare that we interview founders who are like, "I wanted to do this since I was a kid, so I did." I feel like a lot of our interviews are always like, "I came into this in a different way," or "I fell into it."
Yeah, you're right. You're right. This is one collection that I would definitely encourage our listeners to explore. And I would say the discovery set is worth the blind buy. You have a huge collection of things to explore. There will definitely be something in there for you, if not more than one thing. For me, there were eight. Yeah, I would like to see more of this energy and fragrance. I think there's enough trend chasing happening that we can leave that to those brands.
It's funny because despite the fact that she has all these kind of like off the cuff notes or accords, so many of the scents smell very, I don't know if wearable is the right word, but
They're unfamiliar and surprising, but really pleasing.
pleasing. Like, I feel like all types of people can get down with them. It
Yeah.
almost feels like it's like a capsule wardrobe of like fragrances for anyone to wear, which is, I think that's a thing that's like people seek out and to do, and it's something that I try to avoid because I feel like capsule wardrobes are like universally aimed things. I'm just like, so it's boring, but at the same time,
Yeah.
I don't know, it's sometimes nice to smell nice and not.
Yeah. With as atypical as some of the notes are, it doesn't feel like one of those fragrances that is, a thought experiment or an art piece. It's just a really solid fragrance.
They're all really well balanced and well composed,
Yes, exactly.
I'll say. Wearable. How dare I? Everything's wearable.
Everything's wearable. All you have to do is wear it.
Yeah, that's our tagline.
Yes.
If you like this episode, please give us 5 stars wherever there are starsable, wherever starsable. Leave us a nice comment on Spotify.
Come to our fragrance swap May 7th at Talea Williamsburg. RSVP at the link in our bio.
And I will put that link also in the show notes.
And it's free.
You can find us on our website, smellylater.live, where we have merch, and you can leave us a voice note at our hotline. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3.
I am at Sabletooth Tiger.
I'm at Tynan Buck, and until next time, we will smell you later.